Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about a surprising discovery inside the worms of Chernobyl, a way to protect metals at sea inspired by barnacles, and foot-eye coordination.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity.
In April of 1986, a catastrophe of nuclear proportions would rock the world and leave parts of Ukraine utterly uninhabitable.
I'm assuming you're talking about Chernobyl, right?
Or Chernobyl with an O sound instead of an E, as I guess it's referred to in Ukraine. I think. I don't speak Ukrainian. The explosion created the most radioactive environment on Earth. By some estimates, between 50 and 185 million curies of radionuclides were released into the atmosphere. And you don't need to know what a radionuclide is to guess that the devastation was enormously widespread.
I mean, as I understand it, people kind of fled the area almost immediately.
Rightly so. And the area around the plant, now known as the Chernobyl Exclusion Zone, is still highly radioactive after 40 years. But there's an interesting twist here. With all the people gone, the natural ecosystem and the wildlife that calls this radioactive zone home has taken back the land. And this has given scientists of all stripes, biologists, physicists, naturalists, botanists, a sort of field lab for all kinds of studies. And one of the latest has dug up some surprising findings on worms.
The worms of Chernobyl. So in my mind, I can imagine larger fauna like deer or bears or other mammals, birds, that kind of thing, fleeing the zone along with the humans if the conditions get too bad. But I mean, worms, where are worms going to go?
Interestingly enough, humans were the only mammals that almost entirely left the area. That means that those other mammals that lingered, like reindeer, for example, contain high levels of radioactivity. And of course, when they migrate or roam into other areas, they take it with them. So scientists wanted to know more about how the radiation affected those little creatures that stayed behind.
If I were to guess, I would say it probably affected them a lot. Radiation isn't exactly something you can escape, right? And it not only blankets everything, but it penetrates. So unless those worms are hiding under a bunch of lead, my hunch would be that they have some pretty interesting mutations.
But they didn't. In fact, the researchers found no signs of radiation damage whatsoever in the genomes of the Chernobyl worms.
Huh. How can that be?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the study. It was conducted by researchers from NYU and focused on nematodes, specifically a species called Oscaeus tipulae. They chose these tiny guys because they have simple genomes, they reproduce really quickly, and there's just a ton of them.
Got it. And rapid reproduction means that you can more easily study genetic changes over time and across generations.
Exactly. They collected hundreds of nematodes from different locations within the exclusion zone and measured the radiation levels at each site. Then they cryopreserved the worms and sent them back to New York for genomic sequencing and analysis.
Right. Cryopreserving them means that they wouldn't make any genetic changes once they were taken off site. It's like taking a biological snapshot of them and then developing the film in the lab.
Totally. So like I said, there were no signs of radiation damage in the nematodes' genomes. And what that suggests is that these creatures have a high capacity for DNA repair and adaptation to extreme conditions.
And these conditions were about as extreme as they could get. So this must have much broader implications than just the effect of radiation on worms.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's important to note that the researchers couldn't be totally sure how long each of these nematodes were exposed to radiation. It's possible they were somehow transported to the zone by other animals, but this study gives us a very tantalizing clue that could help us better understand why some people are more susceptible to cancers, for example.
Right, and probably there's something to be learned about cell repair in general.
Yep. If anything positive could come out of a catastrophe of this magnitude, it is knowledge.
It's kind of no secret that salt water and metal aren't exactly a match made in heaven.
Yeah, no, not exactly. I know if you keep like a metal basin or anything metallic, even just near the ocean, it will corrode really fast.
Exactly. The salt, moisture, and oxygen in salt water will corrode metals up to 10 times faster than fresh water. But it's also no secret that a lot of boats out there in the waves are made of metal, not to mention like oil rigs.
Yeah, that does seem problematic. I mean, it's not something you really think about all that much, but how does one of those giant tankers even make it across the ocean without a ton of corrosion? I assume it has something to do with the paint?
Sort of. The metal, like the ones used on boats and offshore rigs, are protected with corrosion-inhibiting compounds. They work pretty well, all things considered, but there is a problem. They aren't exactly eco-friendly. In fact, they pose pretty significant environmental hazards because their toxic chemical compounds can leach into the surrounding waters, which can have a big impact on marine life.
Right. I guess it would be a little like spraying the forest ecosystems with toxic mists or something like that.
Yeah. Offshore rigs and metal ships aren't going anywhere anytime soon, and corrosion isn't going away either, so there's been a bit of a rush to innovate. And now an international team of researchers from Nanyang Technological University are looking at solutions based on the power of the barnacle.
The squishy little crustaceans stuck to the sides of boats?
Yep, and it's that sticky property that has the researchers so excited. So scientists have been studying the compounds that give barnacles their super stick power for a long time in order to find ways to build less toxic adhesives.
All right, that makes sense. As I understand it, those barnacles are actually incredibly sticky.
Absolutely. So it turns out that these proteins don't just stick to steel, they actually keep it from corroding in saltwater. So the next step was to genetically engineer a specialized bacteria that was able to produce a version of that protein.
Wow. So this protein seems a little too good to be true.
I had the same thought. After they produced the protein using bacteria, pieces of steel were submerged in a salt solution made to mimic seawater. Then they added different amounts of the protein.
All right. So didn't they have to like paint the steel with the protein? No, they just add it to the water?
That's the idea. They found that at certain concentrations, the protein quickly formed a uniform protective layer on the steel, and that prevented corrosion. They think this was because the protein was able to build a complex with free iron ions in the steel, basically forming a corrosion shield.
Okay, so are there any downsides? Like when something seems too good to be true, it usually is.
Well, researchers have actually been testing proteins not unlike this one for similar uses for a long time. But the problem with proteins, they tend to make really good meals for hungry bacteria.
So the bacteria eats the protein and then the salt, it eats the steel.
Pretty much. So they will need to address that issue, obviously. But if they can tweak this little barnacle protein so that it doesn't biodegrade too easily, this could have a pretty big, clean, and green impact on industry and our oceans.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Softball players, tennis players, dart throwers, catchers, batters. What do they all have in common?
Coordination.
Good guess. Among other things, they all use their sense of hand-eye coordination to do what they do.
Right, and we've talked about this before. The brain's ability to coordinate those kinds of actions in fast motions is nothing less than amazing. There's so much going on, from knowing where to focus the eyes to predicting where to move your hand to being able to unconsciously shift your weight. I mean, if you think about it too much, it'll make you crazy.
Well, just wait until you hear about a new study from neuroscientists at the University of Sydney in Australia. For the first time, a connection has been made between our visual perception and the steps we take while walking.
So like foot-eye coordination.
Exactly. So they wanted to know exactly what happens to our visual perception as we take steps. In other words, what kind of collaboration is happening between our feet and our eyes? So they had 45 participants walk using VR headsets along a 10-minute track.
Why the VR headsets? I mean, couldn't they have just had them walk normally?
Well, the VR headsets allowed them to monitor not only gait and footfall, but also eye and head motion. The big finding here was that our brains process what we see in a rhythmic manner that actually matches our walking pace.
Okay, I'm not actually sure how to picture that.
Okay, so as we move from one step to the next, our visual sensitivity peaks, but that sensitivity dips during footfall, which makes our vision less sharp and our reactions slower.
So you're basically saying that our visual perception sort of oscillates as we walk.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. The researchers say it's a bit like a strobe. And the thing is, we can walk at a rate of around 2 steps per second, and those visual oscillations are totally in sync, also at 2 peaks per second.
That is fascinating, but why does this happen?
There are a few theories, but this study also raises a lot of questions. Obviously, our conscious experience of walking is smooth, right? We don't notice these peaks in our visual perceptions. It's possible that our vision and maybe even other senses modulate in sync with our physical movements as a way to prioritize motor control at different phases of our step.
In other words, our brains and our visual perception never take a break.
Right. And what if this sensory modulation varies with age or somehow differs in people with balance and coordination issues?
So if we get closer to understanding the mechanism behind foot-eye coordination, scientists could maybe have a better path towards diagnosing some conditions.
Not only diagnosing, but treating.
I like this. It seems like every new discovery dealing with the brain or perception uncovers new levels of complexity.
Totally. And there's no guarantee that we'll ever just get our gray matter totally figured out. But this study has stepped just beyond the limits of traditional neuroscience, linking the cadence of our steps to the pulse of our perception.
If science could figure out why I'm so clumsy, then that would be great. Like, I'm really tired of tripping over my own feet.
Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. Researchers studying nematodes within the highly radioactive exclusion zone around Chernobyl have uncovered a surprising resilience to genetic damage, offering new pathways to understanding DNA repair and cancer research.
Researchers have unlocked the secret of barnacle adhesive, revealing its dual power to not only stick strongly to underwater surfaces, but also prevent metal corrosion in seawater.
Neuroscientists have discovered that our visual perception ebbs and flows in sync with the rhythm of our steps.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.